Returning to Romans chapter number 13, the book of Romans chapter 13. As I said on Friday night, I felt the Lord having already given me a message for today, directing me elsewhere. And so I trust that you'll understand that this is a word from the Lord. This matter has already been prayed about this morning in our time of prayer. And so I trust that having it then being confirmed in that way, that we will then receive it as from the Lord. And so let's read from the verse 7 of this chapter, and we'll read to the concluding verse of this chapter 13 of Romans. Romans chapter 13, the verse number 7. Render therefore to all their dues, tribute to whom tribute is due, custom to whom custom, fear to whom fear, honor to whom honor. Owe no man anything but to love one another. For he that loveth another hath fulfilled the law. For this, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness, thou shalt not covet. And if there be any other commandment, it is briefly comprehended in this saying, namely, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Love worketh no ill to his neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfilling of the law. And that knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep. For now is our salvation nearer when we believed. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk honestly as in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness, not in clamoring and wantonness, not in strife and envying. But put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lusts thereof. Amen. And as I said, we'll end at the verse 14. We'll briefly bow in prayer once again. And child of God, you pray that God will help not only the preacher, but help you to listen to the word today. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we now seek thy face for the preaching of thy word. We thank thee for, O God, confirming the message today. And we pray that we may receive it as from the Lord and not from a mere preacher. We pray that we will take this as God's word to us as an individual, to us as a congregation. We pray that thou wilt visit us, disturb this sleep of death. Grant, Lord, thy hand now to be upon us. For we offer prayer, praying that thou wilt fill me with thy spirit. I offer prayer in and through Jesus' precious name. Amen. Waken up. Waken up. No, that's not my counsel to you today if you're feeling the strain of having an hour less in bed last night, because British summertime commenced in the early hours of the morning. This counsel to waken up is God's directive to all of God's people who find themselves living in the last days of Earth's history. You know, as a Christian and as a minister of the gospel, I feel that a spiritual drowsiness has swept across the Church of Jesus Christ in these days. Part of it is, no doubt, is due to the strain and the stress of the COVID-19 pandemic. People at all levels of society are physically, emotionally, and mentally exhausted as a result of the events over the last 2 years. This exhaustion has undoubtedly spilt over into the church, because none of us have lived in some kind of isolation bubble since 2020. All of us in some way have been impacted by the global pandemic. However, whatever the reason for this sleepiness that has come upon the Church of Christ, there are times when the call must go forth from the minister and from all preachers, must go forth to the slumbering and sleeping saints to awake. To awake. And this moment is one such time. I have entitled my message for today simply that, Awake And I've taken my words directly from our text for today, a text that you'll find in the verse number 11 of Romans chapter number 13. And that knowing the time, that now it is high time to wake out of sleep, for now is our salvation nearer than when we believe. There are a number of points I want to direct your attention to today. When considering this term, this word, this counsel, awake, I want us to think firstly about the condition that is identified. The condition that is identified. The word awake suggests that the person or the persons to whom this command is issued to have fallen into a state of sleep. This is exactly what Paul indicates within our text, because he says it is high time to awake out of sleep. What is sleep? Well, sleep is defined as a state of inactivity with a loss of consciousness and a decrease in responsiveness to the events taking place around the individual. That is what sleep is. Now, sleep in the scripture is often employed in a metaphorical way. It pictures for us spiritual apathy. It pictures for us a spiritual inactivity or a spiritual unresponsiveness to the things of God, a sleep that sadly many of us drift into at times within our lives. And when we find ourselves sleeping spiritually, we find ourselves unresponsive to the things of God. We become insensitive to the things that are happening around us. If those are here who are married, I'm sure at one point in your marriage you've had your spouse in the morning asking you the question, "Did you hear that racket last night? Did you hear that noise last night?" And you've said, no, I hadn't, because what had happened is that you had fallen into a deep sleep. Such a deep sleep that you've been unaware of the happenings around you. Well, brethren and sisters, at times I believe that we can fall into a spiritual sleep, into such a deep sleep that we become oblivious to the things that are actually happening around us. We become unconscious to the reality of the state of our own spiritual state, our own souls, and the souls who not only live around us, but those who live with us. You know, this word sleep in our text is a very interesting word. It's a very interesting word when you consider it in the original language, the language being Greek. It is the Greek word hypnos, H-U-P-N-O-S, hypnos. I'm sure you can guess some English words, what we get or we derive from this Greek word, hypnos. You see, hypnos is the word from which we get our English word hypnotic or hypnosis. According to the Apostle Paul, these saints in Rome had been hypnotized, as it were, spiritually speaking, and he is telling them that they must awaken out of this hypnotic state into which they had fallen through the enticements of the world, the flesh, and the devil. It's time to exit your state of hypnosis. Martin Luther, the Protestant reformer, wrote a parable about Satan conversing with his demons on the progress that they had made in opposing the truth of God and destroying the souls of men. One spirit said there was a company of Christians crossing the desert. He said, "I loosed the lions upon them, and soon the sands of the desert were strewn with their mangled corpses." "What if that?" answered Satan. "The lions destroyed their bodies, but their souls were saved. It is their souls that I am after." Another demon reported there was a company of Christian pilgrims sailing across the sea in a vessel, "and I sent a great wind against the ship that drove the ship onto the rocks, and every Christian aboard the ship was drowned." "What if that?" said Satan. "Their bodies were drowned in sea, but their souls were saved. It is their souls that I'm after." A third demon came forward and gave his report, and he said, "For 10 years I have been trying to cast a Christian into a deep sleep, and at last I have succeeded. And with that, the corridors of hell rang with shouts of triumph. He's got the Christian sleeping, the sleeping giant. That's what the Church of Jesus Christ is in these days. She is the sleeping giant. And certainly the devil wants to rock the Christian to sleep. He wants to bring us into a sluggish, a dulled, and hypnotic, and almost trance-like state where we are insensitive to the spiritual need that lies at our very doorstep. You know, beloved, Solomon reminds us in his great book, in the book of Ecclesiastes, that there's nothing new under the sun. And certainly this sleepiness, this drowsiness, this hypnotic state, as it were, people, believers, just living like in a trance, in a sort of a daydream world. There's nothing new under the sun. When you come to the scriptures, you'll find certain Bible characters that had to be aroused from their sleep. I'm sure you're thinking of some of them. What about Samson? This judge of Israel placed himself in terrible risk when he fell asleep on the lap of his mistress, Delilah. Judges 16, verse 19 informs us that Delilah, let me quote, made him sleep upon her knees, and she called for a man, and she caused him to shave off the 7 locks of his head, and she began to afflict him, and the strength went from him. While he slept, Samson, his source of power, was taken from him. He who had given himself to the Nazarite vow, now those 7 locks of hair had been shaven off, and so when he awoke from his sleep, when the cry came out, "The Philistines be upon thee," and when Samson attempted to do what he had done on previous occasions, he found that he could no longer do it. Why? Why? Because he had fallen asleep, and the enemy had come and shorn him of his strength. I tell you, it would have been better for Samson to have stayed awake, not only awake physically, but awake spiritually, and evaded the enemy, than for him to sleep and to fall foul to his enemies. He should have stayed awake. The danger of falling asleep as a Christian. What about Jonah? You'll recall how Jonah, the runaway preacher, tried to evade God's will for his life, boarding a ship for Tarshish. The prophet found a lovely, comfortable place to lie down into the sides of the ship, and he drifts off into a deep sleep that even a furious storm couldn't even disturb this man's slumbering. Sleeping while souls were perishing was Jonah's pitiful state. I tell you, Church of Jesus Christ, we're sleeping. While the souls of men and women and young people are dying. Did you know that already this year, think about this, we're only coming to the end of the 3rd month of this year, but already this year, over 13 million people have died in our world. 13 million souls have already died in our world. How many died without hearing the gospel? How many died without hearing the good news that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners? How many died without even reading the scriptures or being exposed to the truth of the Word of God? What did we do to reach them? What did we do to win them? How did we reach them with the gospel? Well, Jonah was sleeping while he should have been serving. Jonah was slumbering while he should have been supplicating. You know, the saddest detail about this event in the life of Jonah was this, that it took an ungodly ship's captain to arouse this God's servant, this man, God's servant, out of his sleep. It took an ungodly man to arouse him out of his sleep. Jonah 1:6, so the shipmaster came to him and said unto him, "What meanest thou, O sleeper? Arise, call upon thy God, if so be that God will think upon us, that we perish not. Here we have a man of God who needed to be aroused by the ungodly. By the ungodly. Sleeping Jonah had to be awakened to the need of the hour by an unsaved mariner. What about Peter, James, and John? They needed to be wakened out of their sleep, taken into the inner sanctum of Gethsemane's garden by the Son of God. These three disciples were exhorted by Christ to watch and pray along with him, though at a distance from the Savior. However, when the Savior returned, he found them sleeping. Arising them from their sleep, the Savior rebuked Peter and his companions with the words, "What? Could you not watch with me 1 hour? Watch and pray that ye enter not into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak." Sleeping while the Master was supplicating was the state of these men. It seemed to be that Peter had some kind of sleep lack. If you trace Peter's life, you'll find Peter slept on 3 occasions. You'll find that he was sleeping on the Mount of Transfiguration when the glory of God was being revealed. And he's found sleeping. We said this event in Gethsemane's garden, he's found sleeping there. Aye, and whenever he comes the night before he's martyred for the faith, or it is determined that he would be martyred for the faith, we find him sleeping beside and between 2 prison guards. Peter was a sleeping saint. Surely from these examples we see that this spiritual sleepiness, this deplorable drowsiness among the saints of God is not some new phenomena. If it was, then why will Paul write other verses within his epistles and letters with regard to this sleepiness? Let me remind you of them. Yes, Romans 13 verse 11 is one. This is our text for today. But what about Ephesians chapter 4 in the verse, or 5 in the verse 14, when he wrote, "Therefore he saith, awake thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light." 1 Thessalonians 5 and the verse 6, he says, "Therefore let us not sleep as others do, but let us watch and be sober." Twice Paul wrote about waking out of sleep. Once he writes about not falling asleep. Brethren and sisters, let me say, it is a state that we can all fall into. A state of spiritual sleepiness. Having been awakened out of our sleep of sin by the regenerating power of the Holy Ghost, we certainly don't want to slip into a sleep of indifference and apathy and unconcern as a child of God. The sad reality is that sinners perish by their millions, and yet the church sleeps on. Preachers call on their congregations to arise and to work, but the church sleeps on. Missionaries cry to the nations from the nations of the world, "Come over and help us," but the church sleeps on. Doors of usefulness stand open on every hand, and yet the church sleeps on. The enemy advances, but yet the church sleeps on. Let me say, let me tell you, I trust you're aware that Popery's not sleeping. And the Jehovah Witnesses aren't sleeping. We got a letter from them this week. They're not sleeping. And the Mormons aren't sleeping. And Islam isn't sleeping. And yet the Church of Jesus Christ is sleeping. Waken up! Waken up, Church of Christ! Waken up! Stop sleeping. Stop being so drowsy. Waken up. Are you sleeping today? Well, if you're sleeping here, you'll be doing well. You're maybe not physically sleeping, but are you sleeping spiritually? Have you zoned out? Already in this meeting, have you zoned out? Are you wandering somewhere in the land of daydreams? Oh, I hope he's finished soon. Are you here today, and it seems to be that you're in some kind of spiritual hypnotic state? Are you a passive, an uninvolved, an indifferent Christian, let me ask you, has zeal abated? Has your zeal for God, has it declined? Has it debated? Or has it decreased? Has it abated? Are you a Christian whose Christian graces are languishing? What about your love for Christ? Is it on the wane? Is it on the decrease? Have you chosen ease over endeavor when it comes to laboring for Christ? If it has, you've probably lapsed into some kind of spiritual sleep. And the counsel to you today is awake. Awake. Thou that sleepest. Awake. Leonard Ravenhill penned the words, "Could a mariner sit idle if he heard the drowning cry? Could a doctor sit in comfort and just let his patients die? Could a fireman sit idle, let men burn and give no hand? Can you sit, Christian, at ease in Zion while the world around you is damned?" We are in a hypnotic state. It doesn't concern us. We're sleeping. This is the condition. You know, maybe you're here today and you're not even a Christian. You're sleeping a sleep of death, a sleep of sin. And you need to be aroused. You need to be wakened by the Spirit of God. With hell welcoming sinners continuously, you need to be awakened from your spiritual sleep and you need to get to Christ. You need to repent of your sin and trust in Christ for your soul's salvation, lest you sleep and you go to hell. The condition identified here is that of sleep. But secondly, note from our text a directive that is ordered. In verse 11 again, we read, "It is high time to awake out of sleep." Now the directive from God is very simple. If you're sleeping, he wants you to be awakened from that sleep. We are commanded to awake. The word from the original, it means to rise, to stir up, to stir up. This word literally refers to the raising or the lifting up of a person who is either sitting or lying down. Figuratively, it was used in Scripture to speak of a person being raised from illness. There is that restoring of health again, this awakening to health. There is a deplorable state, there is a sickly state into which the patient has lapsed into. But this awakening, it brings to our thought, this word, it means to be to restore to health again. This verb, awake, we all love the English language. It's a verb, awake. It's a doing word, awake. It's known as, it's found, the tense of it is found, or it is a present imperative. What does that mean? Well, it's an imperative is a command. Sit down, that's an imperative. Stand up, that's an imperative. Come here, that's an imperative. Awake, that's an imperative. Present, it has to be done now. It has to be done now, not next week, now, here, today, the 27th, are we, the 27th of March, today. It literally can be read, it is high time to awake now out of sleep, although the translators have the word in now there, if you look at the text, and that knowing the time, that now. Now it is high time to awake out of sleep. Immediate action is called upon with this command to awake. This is no time for sleeping. This is no time for slumber. This is no time for inactivity and ease. There are pressing things at hand. It's time to waken up. That's the very thrust of the command here. The Christian is commanded, required to stir up themselves from this insensible and this inactive state into which they have lapsed. We think about those words in the New Testament, the Apostle Paul, I believe it was to Timothy, to stir up the gift that is within thee. Stir it up. Stir it up. Now, whenever you stir something up, it's going to cause agitation. It's going to cause distress. It's going to cause discomfort. But regardless of that, there needs to be an arising. There needs to be a stirring. There needs to be an awakening. An awakening. You know, whenever we think of that word awake or awakening, it draws our minds to what is known in church history as revival. Is revival not an awakening? You who know your church history, you'll know that with regard to the American church history in the land of America, that there were great awakenings. That's how they were referred to. Americans talk about having a revival. What they mean by that is they're having a gospel mission. But there were periods between the 18th and the 20th century that there were awakenings. Some believe there were three great periods of awakening. And what happened in those times that there was this deadness that had come into the church, it was removed. It was replaced with life, vitality, soul winning. It happened to be that multitudes were brought into the Redeemer's kingdom, saved by the grace of God. Even among the ungodly, there was now an increased interest in the things of God and in religion. There was a profound sense of conviction and redemption on the part of those who were affected. There was an increase in the evangelical church membership, the formation of new churches, new religious movements, new denominations. And you can think of some of the great men, names that we know well of: Jonathan Edwards, George Whitefield, David Brainerd, John Wesley, Gilbert Tennant, Jonathan Dixon, Samuel Davis, just some of the preachers and the revivalists that were used during those awakenings. And are we not in need of an awakening? Do we not need an awakening, child of God? A stirring up again, a quickening again. Our ministers, pastors, evangelists, not calling on God's people to awaken. But it seems to be that our appeals fall on deaf ears. Fall on deaf ears. Brother, sister, young and old, it's time to awaken up from that spiritual snooze that you've slipped into. It's time to waken up. We need to waken up to the reality that someday we will be brought to account for the lies that we have lived as Christians. That I'm going to stand before the judgment seat of Christ. And I will give an account as an individual, as a citizen, as a church member, as a father, as a mother, as a child. I will stand before my God and I will personally give an account to God. Are we awake to that, child of God? Are we? Are we awake to it? We need to waken up to the reality that this generation of Christians will be held responsible to God or by God for this generation of sinners. We need to waken up to the reality that souls are dying without Christ every day around us, and some are our own family members. Mother, your daughter is dying without Christ. Waken up. Father, your son is dying without Christ. Waken up. Waken up. If they're not saved, if they're not redeemed, if the blood isn't applied, if their sin isn't removed, they'll die and they'll go to hell. Waken up. We need to waken up to the reality that the church is powerless, that our evangelism is ineffective, that God's presence is not known among us as it once was, that the prayer meeting has become the Cinderella of the church and has become optional rather than the necessity of the child of God, that our gospel meetings are barren and fruitless, that the world has gotten a hold of our hearts. We need to waken up to the fact that false religion is on the rise, that addiction is soaring in the general populace, that immorality is rampant, that abortion and same-sex marriage and all kinds of perversion are in the statute books of our nation. We need to waken up to the fact that there are churches in our nation, there are churches in our land, in our own denomination that have no under-shepherd, that there are mission stations without any missionaries, and that there are ministries that have insufficient workers. We need to waken up. Beloved, this is not a time for sleeping. This is a time for spiritual alertness, for spiritual vigilance, for spiritual readiness, a time to get our priorities right. It's time to waken up. We have slept too long. Brethren and sisters, we can't keep on sleeping. We can't do it. We need to waken up. Parents, your children need you to be awake. You're sleeping. Your children need you to be awake. And young people, teenagers, children, your unsaved schoolmates need you to be awake. And married couples and singletons, your neighbors need you to be awake. I pray that this message will be like an alarm clock to your spiritual ear. And it'll ring until you get real with God. Oh, brethren and sisters, let us from this day, having heard the word, let us be awake. Awake to prayer. Awake to the realities of what God can do. Awake to revival. Awake to witnessing to the lost. Awake to living holy lives. Awake to pursuing righteousness. Awake to the word of God. Awake to service. Awake to consecration. Awake to the needs of the saints. Awake to the plight of the sinners. Awake to God. To be awake. To be wakened up. The directive ordered is awake. The condition is that of sleep. The third and in the final instance, I want to note from our text the rationale that is given. Why are we to awake from this spiritual sleep? Well, Paul gives us the rationale behind this divine directive to awake. We are to awake out of our sleep because now, look at the text, now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. Let's think about this salvation that Paul refers to in our text. We need to understand what this salvation is he's talking about. Now you'll be aware, if you're not already, that there are three tenses to salvation. There is past, present, future. These three tenses of salvation are brought together in words over there in 2 Corinthians chapter number 1 and the verse number 10. Let me read the verse 9. But we have the sentence of death in ourselves, that we should not trust in ourselves, but in God which raises the dead, who delivered us from so great a death, and doth deliver, in whom we trust that he will yet deliver us. Paul speaks about having been delivered, about being delivered, and about a deliverance that is yet to take place. And so this term salvation can refer to our justification, that's salvation past. It can refer to our sanctification, that's salvation present. Or it can refer to our glorification, salvation future. Our salvation past, it deals with the penalty of my sin. Salvation present, it deals with the power of sin. And salvation future deals with the very presence of sin. The salvation that Paul speaks of here in our text is a salvation yet future, a salvation that will save us from the very presence of sin. It's speaking about the day of Christ's return, when he will deliver all of his people from the very presence of sin. The nearness of this glorious day, the day of our final salvation, should motivate us to be on our guard for any kind of drowsiness coming upon us as Christians. The King is coming. The King is coming. And we must be awake at his coming. Did you know that the Lord Jesus Christ used this very argument when he warned his own disciples with regard to being sleepy, with respect to his coming again? In Mark chapter 13, if you want to turn there, Mark chapter 13, the Lord likened his coming to be like the returning householder who gave instruction to the porter, to the doorkeeper, prior to his departure to watch for his return. as the Savior applied the illustration, he says there in Mark 13, verse 35 to 37, "Watch ye therefore, for ye know not when the master of the house cometh at even, or at midnight, or at the cock crowing, or in the morning, lest coming suddenly, he find you sleeping. And what I say unto you, I say unto all, watch. Lest coming suddenly, he find you sleeping." Just as the porter was to refrain from physical sleep in anticipation of the returning householder, so his disciples were to refrain not from physical sleep. They weren't to sit up for the next period of their life until they died not sleeping. No, metaphorically he's speaking here, don't fall into some spiritual sleep, some kind of spiritual daydream. Don't become hypnotized by the world, the flesh, and the devil. Give yourself a good pinch. Keep yourself alert. Watch. Look. The king's coming. Keep awake. Brethren and sisters, you think of this. You think of what Paul says here in Romans chapter 13, and I'll be closing in two or three minutes here. If the salvation of God's people was nearer than when the Roman saints first believed, that's over 2 millennia ago. Over 2,000 years ago, these words were spoken. If the salvation of God's redeemed people was near then, what must it be 2,000 years on? If it was near then. I tell you, the return of Jesus Christ draws closer with each passing day. If he were to come today, would he find you sleeping? Would he find me sleeping? Would he find me in some kind of spiritual slumbering stupor? Or would he find me awake? Would he find me watching and waiting, looking above? As Paul said in 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 6, "Therefore let us not sleep as others do, as do others, but let us watch and be sober." When he comes, may not find us sleeping. May find us watching and waiting, serving, supplicating, longing and laboring. Lord Jesus Christ will use this illustration or this point, this rationale for this non-sleepiness, the fact that he's coming back again. He uses it in another of his parables. It's the parable of the virgins. 5 wise, 5 foolish. The 5 wise, they bought oil, their lamps were trimmed, they were ready for the coming bridegroom. The 5 foolish virgins, they thought that they could postpone their preparation for the bridegroom coming. And then all of a sudden, unexpectedly, the cry goes up, "Behold, the bridegroom cometh." But if you read that parable, you'll find something very interesting. You can read it in Matthew chapter 25. You'll find in the parable of the virgins that while the bridegroom tarried, and I quote, "they all slumbered and slept." Not only the foolish, but the wise. Are we then to expect before the Savior's return a greater spiritual sleepiness among even the saints of God? I believe so. We're living in such days. Sleepy saints. Dozing believers. Well, see, it didn't say dozy believers. Dozing believers. Napping Christians. Oh, may we not be like that, but may we be awake, awake to righteousness, awake to God. I just want to close with a challenge to you who are not yet a Christian. All those who are listening to the voice of the preacher who knows not Jesus Christ, and all of this really has probably went over your head today, and that is to be expected. You're unregenerate. The things of God you cannot discern, you cannot ascertain. The Spirit of God doesn't dwell within you, so how could you ever appreciate what is being taught? But I want you to listen to these words. I read a sermon by a preacher who preached on these particular words, and this is how he said that every unconverted person should read our text there in Romans 13 in the verse 11. He said, this is how you should read it, unsaved person. It is high time that you should awake out of sleep. For now is your damnation nearer than when you first heard the gospel and rejected it. Not a sobering thought. Sinner, awake. For now is your damnation nearer than when you first heard the gospel and rejected it. Awake, sinner. Awake from your sleep of sin. Turn to Christ and run to Him. Trust in Christ, having turned from your sin. Awake. And so the challenge goes out to all here today, whatever spiritual state you're in. Christian, awake. Backslider, awake. Sinner, awake. And that knowing the time, Paul said, that now it is high time. In other words, it's long overdue. It's long overdue, Christian. It's long overdue to awake out of sleep. For now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. What a joy that is. To think that we're soon be in glory. Let's not go to heaven sleeping. Let's go to heaven awake and alive to God. May God challenge this preacher's heart first and foremost and your heart today. Let's bow our heads in prayer, please. Let's pray. Now let's take a few moments just before we leave. Remember those in the car park, just hold fire until we get to the gate. But let's take a few moments. Let's ask the Lord to deal with our own hearts personally. Don't be looking around you. Don't be looking around you and thinking, well, that's a good message for him, her. It's a good message for us all. It's the Lord's message. It's God's word. What are we going to do with it? What are we going to do with the word today? Going to criticize the preacher? We're going to resist? Or are we going to yield? We're going to say, Lord, I am asleep. Awaken me out of it. Awaken me out of this terrible sleep I'm in. And help me to be alive to God. You take these moments and just you pray privately. God will hear that prayer. Thank God, then go on with Him. Our Father and our God in heaven, we thank Thee for Thy word. We pray that we will be in these days, Lord, not drowsy sleeping Christians, but those who have been awakened by the Lord, stirred up, roused up for God, stirred, set on fire. These statements, these phrases, they're known, familiar to us all. But oh, to experience it. To be able to point back to Mother's Day 2022 is the day that the church was awakened, stirred again. Come, Lord. Come. Give us grace to follow through on all things that thou hast said to us. Answer now prayer and part us with thy blessing. We offer our supplications in Jesus' holy name. Amen and amen. Thank you, and may the Lord bless you.